Rewind the clock. Stop at the start. There was nothing but darkness. Nothing existed. Nothing was listed, not one book. You couldn't even like something on Facebook until, boom, a voice spoke something out of the nothing, swapping nothing for something as God of creation created something from nothing. God who? The grafter of galaxies and crafter of creation, who turned on the solar and kicked off the system, who positioned the planets, orchestrated their orbits, who seasoned the sea and laid out the land, who mapped out the mountains and set out the sand, who made birds of the air and fish of the sea, who made mammals and animals, made you and me, pinnacle of what's physical, ever better than the rest, even better than Everest. Grander than the canyon, with more depth than the ocean, formed us from the dust, he breathed us into motion. And as the maker strolled through the trees with their luscious leaves, there strolled with him two, Adam and Eve. A two-way relationship of three, in perfect harmony, an ever-flowing fountain of friendship with the ever-knowing, showing one rule, don't eat fruit from that tree. You see, that tree is out of bounds. On what grounds, says this slippery voice, then a choice or a trick, a serpent so slick, why can't you eat fruit from that tree? The serpent deceives Adam and Eve. A low-hanging fruit crunched, the off-limits fruit munched and eaten, and now there's just mess as sin takes its stage in the Garden of Eden. Sin breaks in and it changes everything. Perfection gets pierced, the friendship gets frayed, a rule broken, and now brokenness gets displayed, which makes for newfound open eyes, seeing sin reality of sadness, pain and lies. And as separation strolls in, it comes as no surprise that Adam and Eve leave the garden with the lushest leaves. And though God, the glorious gardener, is heartbroken, from the offset he sets his restoration plan to motion, the irreversible will be reversed, the wreckage rectified, the penalty paid for, dealt with and justified. One day what you've broken, I'll fix and restore, but it won't just be a touch-up job, but perfect, even better than before. One day I'll win you back, one day we'll be together once more. Fast forward to the festive. A messenger surprise. Shepherds in awe and wonder as the angels fill the skies. Mary's explanation of the conception situation that Joseph first off thinks are lies. Gift giving astronomers with wisdom in their minds and worship in their hearts, and they can't believe their eyes because God's plan right from the start was a baby. And maybe it seems there's nothing stranger, but this baby in a manger was God's son who'd rise up to become our savior, and what had birthed from a brokenness back when Eden friendship frayed was now carried on a cross as the penalty on him was nailed. Creation held its breath and went into mourning. And as morning finished its shift, the day turned to noon. The sun turned off its light, sky like night in the afternoon. Death came. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door as God's son breathed his last breath in no more. But there's more to the story, because death couldn't hold him. The grave could not control him. Life burst through, the tombstone sent rolling, because Jesus, the Savior's in the business of restoring. Payment completed. We can now be forgiven. Our sin curse defeated because he is risen. And so the remit's reclaimed. Restoration, a new hope and creation, with the promise of a new world that's beyond our imagination. And it doesn't need any backing from dragons, Deborah Mead. Then it's God's business happening anyway. The promise of perfect Eden, perfectly planted trees, showcasing their luscious leaves, flowers dancing in the sunlight to the beat of the rhythmic breeze. No need for antihistamines, because these won't make you sneeze. A view that will leave you breathless. The hanging gardens of Babylon won't have a garden patch on this place, but the view is just a warm-up act compared to the main show. The God gardener himself, the maker, the molder, creator, the crafter, who invites us into paradise to play forever after. No more sin. No more pain. No more brokenness. No more shame. No more tears. No more sorrow. That's the perfect Eden promise of tomorrow.
Hey, good morning, everyone. What a fantastic way to start. I always love these videos because they get you... They stir you up. And this, I think, is a really particularly stirring video. It sets the scene, doesn't it, as to why we are gathering, why we are here, why church exists, even online, even through a little screen, but it's about focusing upon God. And even though our world is changing, you know, things are tough and they're getting tougher at the moment. The virus and the potential lockdown are rising again, but God, the Father, is still the same. He's still in control. Jesus is still the same. And he's here walking with us through all of this. And God, the Holy Spirit, is still the same. And he's here within us. That's what it's all about, folks. So, with that in mind, let's pray. Let's give our time to God. So, Lord, we thank you for the wonder of the story, which we've just seen captured in just a few minutes. But, Lord, the wonder of your love, your creation, your desire to be in relationship with mankind. Lord, it's just wonderful. And so we want to thank you for this opportunity we've got today, just to dwell that little bit longer, to think a little bit more focused about the nature of that relationship. So come, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord God Almighty, come and take this time. And we offer ourselves as individuals, as families, we give ourselves and we say, Lord, speak to us, change us, just do what you need to do in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Okay. Well, a proper huge, huge welcome. It's great to see you, have you all here. I can't see you. I keep doing that. Anyway, especially if it's your first time with us here on Facebook, if you're watching the video later, it's really great to have you with us. And we're just so glad that you could join us. If you're on the phone, morning folks who are on the, listening on the phone, it's great. Now, we're in the midst of September, and for us, September means September Soundbites. And we're 3 weeks in now, and I don't know whether you were aware, but did you spot the deliberate mistake on Thursday? One or two of you did, because I had some emails. But I tell you, I did, as I was going through it, and I thought, missed one. Anyway, there you go, deliberate mistake. But I hope you're enjoying them, and I hope that you are really feeling stirred, and it's helping you to focus on who Jesus is and what he came to do and his wonderful words. So let's keep going. If you've not yet signed up, you can still pick it up from where you are. If you go onto our church website and click on the banner September Soundbites, it takes you through to that link page, and then you click on the document, and there are all the readings for the week. Anyway, talking of the week, a bit later on, this week on Wednesday, we have our Worship on Wednesdays, our WOW, and that's from 7 to 8, so thanks to the Greystones team, Adam and team, who are doing that, and of course, after the service today, we also have our coffee time, and thanks to John Dunster. If you would like to join us for coffee, and you haven't got the Zoom connection for that, again, leave a comment, and we'll make sure you get that information. Okay. So that's it. I'm going to hand over to Rich, who's going to lead us in some worship and do the kids. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. My name's Richard, and I'm here to lead us in a couple of songs and also, in a moment, bring you a little bit of an illustration. So let's not stand together, sit in your living room and do all the usual stuff that we're going to sing. Come, now is the time to worship. And here we go. Is this behaving itself? Okay, just bear with me. Something is misbehaving here. The screen's going to change. Here we go. Sorry, something stopped talking. That's actually really good because I need to connect my device. I'm going to be talking about connections a little bit later. We're going to be talking about what it means to be connected to each other and also connected to God. So hopefully we've got a connection now. So when I touch my foot... Don't you just love live TV? What is going on here? Come on. So this pedal here controls the words. And when I on this app, it should connect to it. There it goes, it says it's connecting. Failed to connect to device. Oh dear, right. This is a good start, isn't it? In fact, this could be my children's talk. Why isn't this connecting? What's going on here? Tap to connect with your device. We've had a fun time this morning. We came in and Ian was trying to get one of the cameras to connect and it wouldn't. We thought, oh no, how are we going to do church this morning when it isn't connecting? And then now my device here isn't connecting. Okay. I'm going to do one more go at this and then we're going to panic. So connect to your device. Failed to connect to the device. Right, okay, right, we're going to go old school. Here we go, let's see if I can get this going anyway. Okay, so, right, let's sing and worship. And it's really important to be connected. Don't know what's going on there, but we'll just have to carry on. Here we go.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before the Lord. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your. How marvelous, how wonderful.
Said connectivity today. When I came this morning, the iPhones we use as cameras weren't connecting to the software we're using. We thought, how are we going to see everything today? We've got that sorted, and now the music device isn't connecting up with that. And I've had a big problem with connection because, you see, I have been trying to come up with I was trying to make a kids talk work last night, and I was here for a long time because I was trying to get one of these light bulbs to come on. You see, light bulbs are fantastic things, aren't they? When they're dark, you hit a switch and there's light in the room we're in. We've got these wonderful light bulbs in the ceiling, and when you come in, you turn them on, and actually when you leave the room and no one's in there anymore, they turn themselves off, which are fantastic. Apart from if you're sat at a desk not moving and it thinks that there's no one in here at 10 o'clock at night and it turns the lights off, and I think, oh no, I need to come up with a light so I can do my work. And I saw on YouTube some very clever people managing to get car light bulbs to connect up to batteries and to come in. And I was in here for a long time and I was playing with batteries and light bulbs, trying to get a light bulb to come on with wires, you see. Because in order for this light bulb to come on, in order for one of these lovely light bulbs to come on and give us light and help us to do what we're doing, it needs something. See, there's no good just going to the shop and buying a light bulb and coming home and going, work. You know, why is it still dark in here? It needs something to make it do its thing. The light bulb's been built in a very clever way with the right gases and elements and things inside that when electricity passes through it and it gets hot, it glows and it gives us light. And so I was here mucking around with tinfoil and all sorts of things, and it got very late and my wife was wondering where I was, and I had to admit defeat. You see, I couldn't get it to work with a battery. And I thought, well, that's okay. So I went home and I grabbed a lamp. Okay? I thought, I'm sure I can get this to work. And so this here's one of our lamps from home. And so I've got a light bulb in it. Okay, so let me show you. I've got the right light bulb. I've got the light bulb here. I'll screw it in into this little bayonet here. And I've got a lamp, and I thought, well, that's great. And it didn't work. I thought, well, what's wrong with it? I've got a light bulb, it's now plugged into a lamp. It's still not working. I thought, oh, I know what it is. I haven't flicked the switch. Okay, so if I turn the switch on, the light should come on, shouldn't it? So here we go. Oh. No. Nothing. Any ideas why it's not working? Well, it's because I forgot to plug the other end into anything. So I've got a light in a lamp, but there's still no power coming into it. So I put this here, thought, well, that's okay, I'm going to plug it in. And so I got myself a nice plug, and I plugged that in. Oh, that's a good click. And I'm going to hit my switch, and there's still nothing, because my plug isn't plugged in either. It's got no lead. So it's got nothing. So it still needs to be connected up. And no matter what I do, having the right things in the right place doesn't make a difference until you connect it to some power. And once it's got power, it connects. And just like the cameras we used for church this morning, just like my light bulb, just like my worship iPad with my Bluetooth pedal, it's great having the right gear, but if it isn't working or it's not connected, then it doesn't do you any good. If you went home and it got dark and your dad or mum or whoever looks after you got a light bulb and plonked it on the table, It's not going to do a lot of good. It's not going to bring you any light to read or eat your dinner with. It needs to be connected to power. And as Christians, people who love Jesus, the Bible says we need to be connected to two things. One of the things it says we should be connected to is other Christians, and that's what a church is. It's a group of people who love Jesus and are committed to each other. And it's been really hard over the last 6 months not being able to see some of each other, not being able to gather in the same place, and having to meet as church through our TV screens and our iPhones. But it's been lovely being able to connect with each other and read the comments, and for life groups to start meeting again in small groups, following the guidelines to be able to connect with other Christians. And Paul, he wrote to a church, he said, don't give up meeting together. It's really important. If you want to follow Jesus, you need lots of help. That's some of our power. But he also said we have to be connected to Jesus. Today's reading talks about a grapevine. And actually, grapevines grow grapes when they're planted in the soil and they've got sunlight and water. But if I was to go up to a grapevine and chop off a branch, it's not connected anymore. It's not alive. It's not going to grow. And for a light bulb, if you're a Christian like a light bulb, you need to be connected to the power so that you can glow and that other people can see Jesus in you. Jesus is very important to us at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And even when talks don't go right, or experiments don't work, or bits of gear die, the most important thing is that we're connected to him. Because through him, he changes us and helps us to be the people who we need to be. We're going to sing a song which sings about Jesus now, about how much he loves us, because he does. And it's this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. Little ones and big ones too, belong to him, they are weak, but he is strong. So let's sing through this. Actually, Mark, do you think you could come and you could click the next bit of the song for me so I don't have to lean across? We'll see if this works. See if we get some help. Here we come. So we've just got to, if you come around this side, so you can see the screen, and you just literally got to click on the next bit and it should come up. So you see the block of words?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, cool. Here we go. Good to have some help. All right, have we got the right? Here we go.
Jesus. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible.
true grapevine, and my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment: love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. This is my command: love each other.
We're going to sing another song. I've got my wonderful assistant here, Mark, who's going to cue up the words for us. Because as well as the technology being connected, it's good to be connected to each other like this. What a team. Here we are. Mark, Rich and Ian. Here we go. And Ali, manning the phones, and other folks too. It's so good to have different people around to help. This song speaks about how good it is to know Jesus and how important it is to have that connection with him. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, ever in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord. All creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I may hold. You are God, all else I'm letting go. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, and nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Oh, yeah. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus.
Together. Fantastic. Okay. Hey, I've never been an assistant before. I love it. Good. Anyway, thanks, Rich. It just shows that a really gifted person who can just keep going in the midst of complete falling apart. Anyway. Okay. Connectedness. That's obviously the theme of our of what we're talking about today. We all want to be and we all need to be connected in one way or another. And Rich has clearly demonstrated that in physical, practical ways. But, you know, as he mentioned too, in recent months, this whole virus outbreak and the subsequent lockdown has highlighted that, I believe, more than any ever time before. Also, that deep need for human beings to, and that desire to value our relationships and how important that is. And of course that has reflected in church and how we're feeling because we can't meet together in person as we used to. But this is what we were created for, to be connected. And we were designed for it. It's really important. And that's both spiritually and humanly. That's why we were connected. Humanly, we need the interaction with other human beings. It's crucial. Some of us are more extrovert in personality and need more of that interaction with others. While others are a little bit more introverted and are happy with their own company. But all of us, every human being, needs other human connection at some point or other. On some level or other. It's part of our makeup. And yet, that spiritual connection is really, really important. I'm sorry, I forgot to click. That spiritual connection is not quite as obvious for some people. Because in an increasingly secular society, what happens is that people want that connection, a spiritual sort of connection, and yet they try on all whole sorts of other means in order to find that connection. But it's just as important and in fact as deep as that human connection. It's just that some people don't know how to make that spiritual connection. And in fact, as we've been thinking about in recent weeks, people will use all manner of things to try and make that spiritual connection. To fill that spiritual gap which everyone has, that hunger deep within inside. But of course we know, and that's this beautiful, very well-known picture, the two fingers of God and mankind. And the only person who makes that connection is Jesus through the cross. Really, really important. Which actually leads us to our passage today in John 15. And thanks to Laura for reading that for us. Jesus uses this lovely parable, this analogy of the grapevine. And he uses it to illustrate the importance and the value of being connected to God through him. In many ways, this passage, I have to say, is an extremely significant theological statement from Jesus. Because he's referring to a much more personal, intimate and dynamic relationship with God than many of those around would have understood or to even contemplate. And that was particularly evident during the time of Jesus' ministry and his Jewish listeners, who were used to a much more distant, holy God, who was approached through obedience to laws and to following of rituals, whose name was Yahweh, who you dare not even utter on your lips. So you can understand when Jesus starts talking about me and him and me and all that sort of stuff, it was absolutely a no-no. And to the traditionalists at the time, it was just blasphemy. So you can understand why they didn't agree with who Jesus was and in fact what he was talking about. And so our soundbite verse for today is verse 5, which lays it out plainly. And he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, that's not possible physically without an intimate and personal connection with God. If he is the vine and we are the branches, they need to be connected. And the next phrase too, interestingly, remain in me and I in them. Now, that's a declaration of a new covenant, of the new covenant set in place through Christ, which up until now gave across an unheard concept of the Almighty Holy God living inside of human beings. But hallelujah, this is now a reality, and it thanks to Jesus and the cross. But up to this point, it was totally unheard of. So as we consider this whole illustration which Jesus uses, that very physical attachment to the branch, to the stem of the plant, we can see how deeply intimate this connection is and how crucial it is. We're talking about a living organism here, an inseparable bond, a total unity, being one and the same. So following the very biological function of a plant and a vine, and I have to say, I'm not particularly well up with the science, but I know the basic connections, it helps to see that all the goodness and the richness that the roots of the plant and the stem of the main plant provide, it then gets drawn up and spread out through that and out through the branches. So all from the nutrients in the soil and the water come up through the system of the plant, through the sap, through those nutrient channels, and they've probably got some posh Latin name, I don't know what they are, but then they go out through the branches and produce the leaves and ultimately the blossom and then finally the fruit, which is that final expression, if you like, of a vine's actual existence. It's not just to produce a stem or a branch or a leaf or even the blossom. It's to produce the fruit. And that is the production. That is what that vine is here for. It's what it exists for. And those nutrients, as they're drawn through the arteries of the plant, as it were, they are changed and then transformed into food for growth, enabling the very nature of what the vine was created for. And it then gets displayed, which, of course, is the rich, plump, juicy grapes, which are then not just eaten for food, but can be crushed for wine and juice, all those things. Now, let's translate that imagery into us being part of the vine, and that vine, which is Jesus, and us being the branches, and having the purpose and the of producing the fruit of the vine. And then we actually start to realise how important the connection is which we have through Jesus with God. We're called to be one with him, are we not? To be united with him. To know and to receive the life which only he can give. And that brings strength and power to our frail human flesh, sinful flesh. And we're called to be an essential part and a branch of that vine, to take in those nutrients that God provides, and therefore to be changed, to become like him, to fulfill what I believe we were created for, to be like him, to do the work which God has set aside through the work of the Spirit within us. And in turn, of course, that will then produce the fruit of the Spirit, which, of course, you know, Paul lists it in Galatians 5:22. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness and the self-control, alongside all the other amazing attributes of Jesus. And in one sense, that is our grapes. That is our fruit. That's what we should be producing. Because we're called to reflect the very nature and the character of God. Just as a grape reflects the very nature of the vine it's coming from. And we can't do that unless we abide. Unless the branch and the leaves and the eventual fruit is attached to the vine. It cannot happen. It needs that constant connection, that constantly, to be constantly joined to the vine. And of course, that vine is Jesus. If the branch is severed from the vine and doesn't produce that fruit any longer, then it will die. It gets cut off. It's discarded. It's gathered together. And because it's useless, it's thrown on the fire. That's the other images which are used there in that passage. It's severed from the very source of life itself, Jesus, God. And yet, that which is productive, so that the new growth can take place, it's pruned. It's trimmed back so that it stays fresh and it stays new. And it increases its fruit yield. And so that the encouragement, even though it's painful in the process, is to allow God to trim us back so that we do continue to produce more and more fruit. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Now, it's all very well, but this concept in this last part, this last phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing, is hard, isn't it? Nothing? Really nothing? I thought, how do I illustrate this? Well, there you go, blank screen. Nothing. What's he meaning? What is Jesus meaning by this? Because we see lots of people in our world who have no connection at all with God whatsoever. And yet they can do stuff. They produce things. They have a life of sorts. So what's God meaning? What is Jesus meaning when he says you can do nothing? Well, I've always understood it to actually mean nothing as regards God's perspective on life. You know, the main purpose of existence. The very fact that God breathed life was for a reason. It wasn't just to be and go. It had to produce something. It had to be creator connected. And we're called not only to be fruitful and to be one with God, as we've been considering, but we're also to be one with him, to have a purpose. And it's about being a part of something much, much bigger, to engage with establishing the wider eternal plans and purposes of God, things of the kingdom. Yes, we're still very important and personal and very particularly loved by God himself as an individual, but we're one of something much bigger. You don't just produce one grape, do you? It's a bunch of grapes. And the whole plant has got different bunches in different places. It's not just the one. It's something much, much bigger. And we've been called, I believe, to be about his business, to be partners with him and with others through the church, to be about the things of the kingdom and sharing in the vision and the mission and the ministry of God. That's what I believe we're called to be. So my take on this whole nothing is about being focused on stuff that is of eternal value. The really important aspects of life, which has both a here and now on earth emphasis. It's got to, because it's about us connecting with human beings. But it also has an eternal significance. It must have an eternal emphasis. It's about God's agenda, not that parochial, limited, selfish, mark-centered agenda, or whoever you are. So how do we know this God-centered agenda? How do we find it? How do we grasp this eternal dimension about life? It's by spending quality time with him. It's about being with him. By reading and studying and applying the scriptures. It's about dwelling and wrestling in prayer. And all of this enables us to catch his heart, to hear his voice. And in that place, I believe, then we discover his priorities. We catch the wind and the breath of his spirit and we hear his voice. And this means we need to put the work into this. We need to give it time and we need to give it effort. And I see and hear many people, and I have over my years of ministry, wanting the blessings. They want all the benefits of knowing God and being joined to the vine and all those things. And yet, they're actually lazy. They want it all prepared for them. It's something of the nature of the world in which we live. They want it just delivered. And that's not what it's about. They're not prepared to put the time or the effort in. It's more than just talking about a quiet time here, as good and as valuable as those things are. It's about a friendship, a relationship, and they need working at. It's about being determined to be obedient and applying what we read. It's about seeking God, spending that quality time every moment of every day. It's recognizing that God is there with you. You are there with him. He is in you, you are in him. It's inseparable. So everything we think and say and do has to be connected to the vine. And that's at the heart of this abiding. That's what remaining in him is all about. You have to make a conscious decision to be and be intentional about your relationship with God. You can't just drift in to a Facebook service on a Sunday morning and then just drift out. It will just come to something and just think, that's it, I've done my fix. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about being totally absorbed by God and with God. And that's what I believe he's calling us to. And being prepared to put the work in about becoming increasingly one with him. And without that depth of connection, without that intimate relationship with the vine, with Jesus himself, we'll do nothing. Nothing of eternal kingdom value, which is a fulfillment of why we've been created. This is a really challenging aspect, I believe, of this whole passage. So let's not give up working out our salvation, as Paul says in Philippians 2 verse 12. And let's not forget that the main emphasis here in this whole passage is about sharing and experiencing in God's life and God's love. Expressed, of course, ultimately through Jesus, who laid down his life for his friends. That was the connection. That's what's brought us into the vine. And that's where we must remain. And that's where we must stay. I'd like us to spend some time before God now. Let's spend some space now for God to do that personal work within us. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit to minister. So come, Lord, as we consider these words, we give you the space and the time, Lord, to come and do what you need to do in us. Lord, come and change us. Remind us, I pray, of that connectedness which we've been called to. Remind us, Lord, that we are in the vine if we are in Christ. And therefore, all that the life of God needs to flow into us and through us. Lord, draw us closer. Draw us closer, even now. And Lord, where we've perhaps become separated or distant, perhaps where we've become broken in our relationship with you, Lord, splice us back in. Fix the branch. We want to reconnect, Lord. Lord, we want you to restore us to that place of intimacy and oneness with you, that place of inseparable relationship. That, Lord, we'd never go about doing anything apart from you. We want to be fruitful. And Lord, we know that we can only do that by staying and abiding in you, the vine. So Lord, we surrender. We surrender our independence and those self-focused attitudes which we have. And instead, Lord, we take up the kingdom. We want to become eternally focused on the vision which you have for our lives, that potential fruit, the potential of kingdom expansion and extension here on earth. Lord, help us to see the bigger picture of your purposes in our life. So Lord, change us. Where our focus is too personal rather than into the kingdom picture, then Lord, shift our way of thinking. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do that deep work within us. And Lord, we want to tell you, we want to offer ourselves afresh to you now so that we might catch your heart. And we want to soak up all the goodness which is in you, the vine. We want to receive all those abundant spiritual nutrients of your love, your joy, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy, your power. All those things, Lord, we could go on and on. Lord, we want you to come and do your work in us. Lord, we allow you to come and produce within us that fruit of your life. Lord, we are here for you. We're your friends. That's what this passage goes on to say. We're your friends. And you've laid down your life for us. Lord, we want to be in partnership with you, to be about your purposes for us, but also for your kingdom's sake. So come, Holy Spirit, soak us afresh now, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. Come and do your work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if anything, God's put his finger on something which is perhaps needs repairing, perhaps you do need that splicing back in, then that's fine. Just get in touch, leave a note and I'll be in touch through email or something. But I'm going to hand back to Rich, who's going to lead us in our final song. Come on, stay.
Hope is built on nothing less.
blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, come.
Yesterday, who's going to close our service with the words of the grace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.